Greet each one in Jesus' name this morning. Mark isn't here this morning, so I guess we won't have many announcements. I don't know all the birthdays and all that, so. But there is prayer meeting Wednesday night, so let's remember that. I appreciated the devotions and the Sunday school. The verses Nolan read, I like the first verse there. It says, that men ought to pray and not to faint. And the thought just struck me. There's two choices there for us, I think. It's either praying and trusting in God or fainting. Just something for me to think about. What am I going to choose to do? Trust God and pray and receive strength from Him. And also I like the Sunday school. One of Ben's opening comments was, if I got it right, was the world is this wilderness. We're talking about Moses in the wilderness and the Israelites and all that. The world today is our wilderness, and they don't provide a table for us. But God does have a table for us. I like that thought. Thank you for sharing, everybody. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for this day. Thank you for healthy bodies and a safe place we can come to worship you and without fear of being uprooted or just pray that you'd bless us today. Be with those that aren't here, be with Mark's where they're at and others that are not here. Just bless them, keep them in your care. Just pray that you'd speak to us today as we look into your word and thank you for what we've heard already in Jesus' name. My title this morning is The Shortness of Life and the Footprints We Leave. In the last couple weeks, we have been made aware that life is short. Seems like there's been an exceptional amount of fatalities on the highways. We could say partly due to the winter weather that we've been having. It's been some nasty roads if you've been on them much. We could say it's partly because of that, but on the other hand, I believe it's just one other way of God taking his children home. We can blame it on weather, we can blame it on sickness, but after all, after a while, we say God has his ways. He protects us when he wants to protect us, and then sometimes it's just time to go. It's been impressed upon me how people's lives definitely leave a mark upon us, especially at death and even after they leave. I had the chance to talk to a couple people about the young men that died in that crash by Hayes or Rolling Hills there. I know it's happened a while ago, but I had the chance to talk to a couple of people that knew them or knew somewhat about them, and it just impressed me what they had to say. And I agree, I will tell you right away, I don't know these boys, I'm sure they're human, but I just want to take their lives as an example for a starter this morning. One man's story about them was that they would come to church and faithfully sit together near the front. Maybe I used this illustration already, but it impressed me. And it impressed me again because I talked to the father just this week, and that's kind of why it came back to me. They had their spot at the front of the church, or near the front, I guess, and that was just their spot. They were faithful about it, sound like, and like I said, I had the chance to talk to the father. He just came with his truck and loaded some barley for me this week, and here it was again, talking about these boys and their life, what he knew about them as a father. It was a tragic accident. We could say, well, how awful, like they're 20, 21-year-old, whatever they were. And it was, they had this crash, and it was deadly, and it was instant. And we could say why. But I think God has his reasons. The father said when they would come home from work, the one son would go upstairs, sounded like fairly quickly, and spend an hour. And I took it Bible reading. It sounded like he was studying. And then when he was done, the other son would go up and study his, take his hour. And later on that evening, they would spend some time together with the Bible. He said they had their thoughts and verses written down in books. And he hadn't looked at these books. He figured it was their business. It wasn't his to be looking in their books while they're living. And I could agree with him on that. But since they were killed, they have access to these books. And they have their thoughts and their verses and their meditations, whatever they wrote. And the father thought that maybe he could get these out into the public so they could help other young folks, possibly help other young folks to find their way. But it was just impressive to me how those boys lived. Nobody was watching them. Nobody was saying, you go up and read your Bible. You know, it's time for you to read your Bible. They were just doing it. That was their life. Father said the one son wanted to touch as many lives for Jesus as possible. I guess he hadn't realized exactly how that would happen. He said people came to Jesus over the death of his sons. And this is just a side note. This father's a trucker for CCRL, and he has some long hauls to do, but he said he likes to be home for the nights. And I thought, does that play into how his sons turned out at all? I think it could. I'm sure these young men weren't perfect. I think earlier in their lives they had been wild, possibly. I don't know them, but just snatches I hear. But their lives are changed, and they're walking with God, as far as I know. And I was just impressed. I wasn't out looking for this witness. It was just two truckers that happened to tell me. One trucker had been, shortly after it had happened, he told me about them, he kind of knew them, and he told me part of the story. Another trucker told me this other part of the story. And how many lives will they touch? And I didn't even know them. How many lives do we touch the people we do know? I also had a chance to attend another man's funeral from Rolling Hills, and I don't want to downplay one person over another, because I didn't know either one very well at all. He had seemingly lived a good life in the world's eyes, but I don't remember hearing anything about his relationship with God or going to church, reading the Bible. I didn't hear anything that I remember. It was more about his life as a man, doing what he loved, and boozing with his friends. What lives are you and I living today? What footprints are we leaving behind? Psalm 90, verse 1. Psalm 90, verse 1. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever hadst thou formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return, ye children of men, for 1,000 years and thy sight are but as yesterday, when it is past and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep in the morning. They are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth, and it groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins, in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our days, years, as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years and 10, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength, labor, and sorrow. For it is soon cut off when we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy. I love these verses. that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us, yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. My Bible says at the beginning here, it says a prayer of Moses, the man of God. I like this for an introduction to what we're going to look at. Verse 1 and 2 are very comforting verses. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. That's all of us. That's every person on the earth that chooses to follow God. I mean, God is taking care of even the evildoers to a point, but especially as we put our trust in Him, God is our dwelling place. It's a sure place. It's a sure thing to all generations. God is in control of everything. He takes care of us. Verse 5 and 6, man is compared to grass. When we think of grass, we don't think of anything real amazing, just grass. It's green, it grows up in the spring, and it's cut down or grazed off or whatever, and it's gone. And if it stays till fall, it turns brown and dies. So why does God use grass to, why does Moses here use grass to compare to us? I'm not sure, but we are definitely perishable. We're not going to be here forever. And verse 12 and 14 there says, so teach us to number our days. That's what I want to impress upon myself and us today, is teach us to number our days. We see that many different people that have died in the last few weeks. And we say, well, maybe they should have driven more carefully, or they should have done this, should have not done that. Let's leave it there. Let's just say it was their time to go, and we will have our time to go. And let's ask God to teach us how to live our lives today so that we can be ready for that time ourselves. When I think of the twins that died, or the other man, or whoever you knew that maybe passed away lately, living life is not to try to impress people with an amazing story at the end of our life. That's not what it's about at all. Or to impress them with our wonderful choices and reputation. That's not what life's about. But living life as a Christian is us choosing to glorify God and choosing to walk with Him each day. And that does lead us to make right choices that result in good character and a witness to others of God's grace. It does that. But it's not our aim, is to impress anybody with their lives, just to glorify God and leave a good witness for Him. Let's look at the shortness of life a little bit. Psalm 103. verse 13. It says, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame, He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone. The place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children. To such as keep His covenant, and to those that remember His commandments to do them. I love this here. It talks about how perishable we are, how we're very short-lived, but it talks about the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. I think there'll be more verses I'll read that have this comparison. The shortness of man's life to God's everlasting characteristics. God is everlasting, we are perishable. That thought struck me. And as that thought strikes us, our hearts, shouldn't that inspire us to look at how frail we are, and to just say, God, I want to serve you. You're the only hope there is. You're the only everlasting thing there is, and I want to serve you with my life. Job 14, Job has a lot of verses like that we could have looked at. Job 14, verse 1. He had a lot of questions when he was going through his tough times. He realized how frail he was, how uncertain life was. I'm just mostly going to read some of these verses without a lot of comment. Job 14, 1. Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. And dost thou open thine eyes upon such an one and bringest me into judgment with thee? Who can bring a clean thing out of unclean? No, not one. Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Turn from him that he may rest till he shall accomplish as an hireling his day. For there is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stalk thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant. But man dieth and wasteth away, yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? As the waters fail from the sea, and the flood decayeth and drieth up, so man lieth down and riseth not, till the heavens be no more. They shall not wake, nor be raised out of their sleep. O that thou wouldest hide me in the grave, that thou wouldest keep me secret until thy wrath be past, that thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me. If a man dies, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Thou shalt call, and I will answer thee. Thou wilt have a desire to the work of thine hands. Verse 5 there talks about our days being determined. Job realized that his days were... God knew how many days he was going to have, and it wasn't going to pass what God had planned. And it talks about the tree, how you cut it down, and it will... If you water it again, it'll grow up, but man is different. When we die, that's it. Our spirit lives on, but our fleshly body is dead. Until, verse 14 says, if a man dies, shall he live again? Job knew there was something beyond. And we all know that too. There's life after death. But our physical body dies. Let's go to Job 7. Verse 1 again. Here it is again. It says, is there not an appointed time to man upon the earth? Are not his days also like the days of an hireling? As a servant earnestly desiring the shadow, desireth a shadow as an hireling looketh for the reward of his work. So our days are numbered. Our God has our life. He knows where it'll stop. Verse 9, as the cloud is consumed and vanisheth away, so he that goeth down to the grave shall come up no more. He shall return no more to his house, neither shall his place know him any more. So some of them verses can seem sad or whatever, but that's just the fact of life. Just the simple thing that those twins, that other man, they won't go back to their house anymore. They're gone. It's final. It's the way it is. Verse 17, what is man that thou shouldest magnify him, and that thou shouldest set thine heart upon him? This is Job asking God, I believe. And that thou shouldest visit him every morning and try him every moment. So Job seems to be asking God, what is it about man that you keep working with me? I feel so small, but you keep working with me. Psalm 39. Psalm 39, verse 4. Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and mine age is nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Selah. Surely every man walketh in a vain show. Surely they're disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Make me not the reproach of the foolish. There it is again. David here, feeling frail. He knows that his days are as a handbreadth, it says here. Very short. You know, if we'd ask any one of you young folks how long is life, and they would say, oh, it's long. I mean, 80 years is like a long, long, long ways away. But once you get middle age or so, you start realizing that the old people you thought used to be old aren't near as old anymore. And you start looking at, just in numbers, how long you have to live. And it looks a lot shorter. Trust me. I can remember being 17, 20, 30, whatever, and life just looked like it would stretch on forever. So my advice to you would be, don't look at life quite like that. Live your life for God right now. Don't wait to get serious about life. And I know you are serious. I'm just saying. Let's look at Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40, verse 6. The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass. Here it is comparing us to grass again. And all the goodliness thereof as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. There it is again. I like that contrast. We are as grass, but God's word stands forever. There's something perishable about us, but we have a spirit that lives forever, and that spirit can grasp onto God's everlasting characteristic. We can follow God and have eternal life. It says man is as grass, but God's word's as grass, but God's word stands forever. As mortal humans, we can trust God and his word that lasts forever. And another verse on this, James 4. James chapter 4, verse 14 says, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, or what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So it's just saying there, some more advice. Our life is short. We don't know when it'll end. And let's live in God's will. And saying, the Lord, if the Lord will, we will do this. We have plans. It's good to have plans. But we have to realize it's according to God's will. Average age of a person's life in the U.S., this was in 2022, average age for men in the U.S. is just under 75, and average age for women in the U.S. was just over 80 years old. I found that interesting. And maybe you'll find different statistics, but you know that verse I read about 70 years and 10? That's the truth of God's word, isn't it? That's how it's going to be. If by reason of strength you live a little longer, that's God's will too. But basically, we live that long. What footprints are we making as we live life, you and I? What legacy am I leaving behind? And like I said before, that's not the point of what story I'm going to leave, not necessarily. We're going to glorify God is what the legacy we want to leave as Christians. But the fact of the matter is, we do live life, we are characters, we do have reputations. And what are we trying to do with our lives? This is something I found when I was studying and reading. It says, legacy focuses on what will endure. It's about passing on things of lasting value to those who will live on after us. Legacy involves living intentionally and aiming to build into the next generations for their success. I love that thought. Living intentionally and aiming to build into the next generation what they need for success. Instead of having nothing to say on the subject, the Bible informs our idea of legacy as we ask, what is most significant to pass on to the future generations, and how shall we go about it? So what legacy and influence are we hoping by God's grace to pass on to the next generation? What are your goals for teaching your children or just impressing upon the world around you? What is the story of your life? What will it be when you're done? I want to look at Psalm 37. Psalm 37, verse 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Verse 16, a little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and the days of famine they shall be satisfied. I know that some of this is Old Testament where they were blessed physically and all that, but I think we could take lessons from this. Verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil, and do good, and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment, and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land, and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart, none of his steps shall slide. Says, mark the perfect man down in verse 37. Mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. So verse 1, let's not compare ourselves with the wicked around us. Let's not compare ourselves whether we're winning or losing by those by them people. Let's trust God, follow him, and he will take care of the rest. Verse 3, am I leaving footprints of trust in God? It says, trust in the Lord and do good. Part of the trusting in the Lord is following him. Is that the kind of footprints I'm leaving in my life? As I walk through life, look at my life from here till now, your life, in the last 10 years, 20, 30, whatever you got. How are my steps looking? Are they straight? Trusting God, following God? Can I continue to trust God when things don't go as planned? When life looks big and out of control? Can we trust the past to the mercy of God, the present to his love, and the future to his providence? Am I teaching my children how to do that? Am I an example of a strong person with faith and trust in God? We are human. We have our struggles. We have our times when we fail. But what is my aim? What is my goal? You can think of Daniel back in his day. I didn't have any scriptures or anything, but I'm just going to go from memory a little bit. We know how he was taken from home at a young age, taken far away from home. And we know how he lived his life. It was in the king's court, but I don't believe he had a family. He was alone a lot of the time, probably. He probably felt alone, away from his family and friends and all that. But he hung on to what he knew. He hung on to what he knew about serving God. He trusted God. And God blessed him. When he was asked to not pray for however long, he just continued. He had a strong faith in God. And then later in his life, when he was around 80 years old, I believe, he got thrown into the den of lions. You could say, how desperate is that? But he continued to trust God, and God blessed him for it. Am I leaving footprints of delighting in God's word, seeking God, being committed to truth? Those twin boys that were killed, they left a legacy and footprints of delighting in God's word. I don't believe they were forced to live that way. They weren't forced to sit up front at church. They weren't forced to read their Bibles. But they did. It's what they wanted. It's a challenge to me. How committed am I to just being faithful? They could have chosen a different path. They could have chosen to come to church when they felt like it, sit in the back, show very little interest in spiritual things. They could have chosen that, but they didn't. They loved God's word. They had a respect for God and his ways. And there's a difference, this is a quote, there's a difference between interest and commitment. When you're interested in doing something, you do it only when circumstances permit. When you're committed to something, you accept no excuses, only results. And this maybe doesn't totally fit here, but I'm going to read it anyhow. Chuck Colson tells of speaking on the campus of a secular university. He was talking about his commitment to Christ, and he mentioned that he was willing, if necessary, to die on behalf of the Savior. A young man in the crowd angrily interrupted, shouting, "Come on, Colson, nothing is worth dying for." To which Colson replied, "If there's nothing you are willing to die for, then I submit you have nothing to live for." You know, that's something for me to think about. I think he's dead on, actually. If there's nothing willing to commit my life to die for if possible, or if you have to, if necessary, if I haven't found that, if you haven't found that, maybe we aren't actually living yet. But I believe we are. We're following God. We're We're living for Christ, and we have something worth dying for. Another quote, whenever you face a decision, you have three choices. Do what you please to do what others do, or do what is right. How committed am I? How committed are you to truth? Are we leaving footprints of love and commitment to truth? I believe we are. As young folks, as older ones, you're an encouragement to me. But it is a challenge. It is a challenge. Psalm 37, verse 23, we read it already. But the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Am I allowing God to guide my steps? Am I leaving footprints of love for my brothers? 1 Peter 1. So seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth, that's us as Christians this morning, through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. There it is again, comparing our lives as grass, and you have the word of the Lord enduring forever. We can grasp onto that as mortal men and live our lives under that enduring word and live forever. Let's love each other with unfeigned love. Let's have that in our footprints. Let's leave footprints of love. My challenge to myself and the rest of us is let's truly be loving and trusting, that loving and trusting and faithful person for the glory of God today. Let's not only love each other, but let's share our lives and our love to those around us, especially to the lost. Do I live a life of kindness? Is that something that could be said of you or I as people look at our lives? Am I kind? And I'm going to just read a few quotes I found, and they were a blessing to me, and I'm just going to read a few of them because I'm sure they can bless you too. And this first one maybe would sum up my thoughts more than anything today, but 'tis better to buy a small bouquet and give to your friend this very day than a bushel of roses white and red to lay on his coffin after he's dead. Think about that. That's what I'm part of what I'm want to say today is let's be kind while people are alive, because it's too late after. Kindness is a language the deaf can hear and the dumb can understand. There is no tranquilizer in the world more effective than a few kind words. And I need this very much. Do you know a soul downhearted, needing cheer along life's way? If you do, then share your gladness. Freely speak kind words today. If someone were to pay you 10 cents for every kind word you ever spoke about people, and then take 5 cents for every unkind word you ever spoke about people, would you be poor or rich? That's scary. But I think it's something to think about. Do all the good you can in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you ever can. Think about this one. Often the only thing a child can remember about an adult in later years when he or she is grown is whether or not that person was kind to him or her. One kind word can warm up 3 winter months. I like that one. Going into winter, something us northerners can relate to. But just some things for me to think about and for you to think about. Those small kind acts go a long ways. Do I truly value people, my wife, my family, my brothers in Christ, my neighbors? Do I truly value them? Am I an example of integrity and honesty? Are we leaving footprints of a clean life in a world where anything is permissible? I think you know what I'm talking about. You don't have to go far. And anything goes. Am I sticking to God's unchangeable word? Living what I know, living what I believe. New Living Translation, 1 Timothy 5:24. Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment, and some men they follow after. Likewise, also the good works of some are manifest beforehand, and they that are otherwise cannot be hid. It's just comparing men's sins that can be open and go to judgment first, is what I understand, and some men they follow after and they meet him at the judgment, which is not good. And then it's comparing the good works. The good works of some we see beforehand and some we see after. Some are never known, and that's fine too. God knows all about everything. In closing, over the past 10 years, what footprints have you and I left? What example do I hope to leave yet? And the blessing, the thought that comes to me is God knows my intentions. He knows your intentions. Even if sometimes we fail in our ideals and our goals, God knows what we're trying to do with our lives. He knows if we're trying to glorify him. And he will bless that. Hebrews 4. I think every one of us knows we're not perfect. God knows we're not perfect, but through him, we can live for him, we can glorify him, we can leave a good example. Hebrews 4, verse 12. It says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So God knows all that. He knows our intents. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open into the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I believe that's how we can live a life for God. Leave a legacy that counts is by coming boldly to God every day for grace. Thank you for your attention.